if you get lax with what you're doing, a pilot deviation can happen. And a pilot deviation is really just a mistake. You're usually not intentionally landing on a taxiway.
Yeah.
I think that would lead to a little more severe ramifications.
It's pretty easy to avoid a pilot deviation, but what are some things that are kind of common sense that some people just avoid because they're in a hurry?
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is a bright and sunny day, finally. I am very thrilled to see this. Yesterday was bright and sunny until the end of the day, and it started raining again. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. It was waiting until I started driving.
Of course.
That's what it was. It was like, oh, Carson's driving right now. Let's make traffic just a little worse.
A little worse, especially on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird, huh?
Well, I'm glad it stopped before everyone started drinking.
I know. Well, I'm sure there were a lot of bad problems yesterday. I know I went to my wine class last night, and just because I knew how many people were going to be on the road, and even though I was tasting wine and spitting half of it out, I did not want to take a risk on St. Patrick's Day driving, so I Ubered.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Good job.
I don't take a risk usually, especially drinking and driving or drinking and flying. Obviously, these are very bad things to do. So
I think drinking and flying is worse.
It might
that's,
be worse.
That's my personal opinion. Might be worse. Yeah. Drinking and driving is not good, but drinking and flying is worse.
Yeah, you should see how much I use Uber and Lyft and black cars.
That's responsible. Good job.
It's responsible. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's very smart. All right, guys. Well, today, we're not going to be talking about drinking and flying. Don't worry, even though it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday for us, even though it's probably about a week and a half later for you guys and gals listening to us today. Today, we're actually going to talk about something. I guess it could go with drinking and flying a little bit.
I was thinking about it. I was trying to make a segue in my brain, but
it just didn't kind of go together.
Not perfect.
We're going to be talking about pilot deviations, what they are, why they matter, and why this is an important topic for general aviation pilots. I know that this got brought up at length when I did my FERC a couple weeks ago and wanted to touch base on it. I know this was one of my like 50 things I put inside of our comments on what I wanted to talk about. So let's just start off with something easy, Carson.
Tell me what a pilot deviation is.
Yeah, what is a pilot deviation, Carson? Tell me.
Pilot deviation, at least when I think about it, I think it's like a ticket. It's like getting a ticket in the sky. So when you do something wrong, break a rule, regulation, or a law, typically, if you get caught, more like if and when you get caught, the FAA is going to come talk to you. So since it is to do with the FAA, they really say it's any action that results in noncompliance with FAA regulations, or more particularly, what you hear a lot of is ATC instructions.
Big time.
Yeah, big deal. There's actually one story just a couple weeks ago about a Southwest plane that had a near miss with, I think it was EasyJet.
Really?
Yeah. It was that EasyJet crossed the runway that Southwest was landing on.
Oh,
it was that a had to do a go around, but it was a pretty close one. The wheels were close.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Could have been another like, Tenerife kind of.
No way.
Yeah. That's what we're looking at. It wasn't good.
There's been a lot of aviation incidents and accidents and definite pilot deviations going on lately in the world. Yeah. Don't know what's going on. People are getting distracted by all sorts of dumb things.
I think it's more publicized.
I mean, it doesn't normally happen in airlines.
Yeah, it's typically general aviation problems.
Yeah, there are GA problems generally, but we are seeing a lot more. So I know we're limited on time today, so we're going to have a pretty condensed, straight-to-the-point episode.
So you don't want to talk about your pilot deviations?
No, I do not want to talk about my pilot deviations.
How many have you gotten?
I've gotten zero.
Oh, that's right. You're a good pilot.
I've almost gotten deviated twice, though. I've gotten the phone call, take down my phone number.
Ooh.
I did get that once before. And then I also got a letter in the mail that said, hey, possible pilot deviation. Please call me.
Wasn't that the one you just got?
Yeah, it was the one that was 6 months ago in the icon. And luckily that resulted in nothing. If you want to know about both of those incidents, all you have to do is listen to all of our episodes because I've talked about them probably two or three times by now.
Yeah. We can just tag the episode.
Yeah, we can tag the episode. Mark, please tag the episode where we're talking about the time where I was flying with Richard and I was in formation with him and I got that phone number. And then also we're going to tag the episode where I was flying the icon and some lady thought I was crashing into the ocean when I was landing on the water.
Yeah. I think taking back off would have been a pretty good
indication on why that you're not to call the FAA.
But, you know.
Yeah.
That wasn't the FAA. It's definitely called 911.
Yeah.
Freaking out.
Exactly.
A plane went down.
Yeah.
Where? Oh, Long Beach Harbor.
Well, I'm going to feel sorry for anybody listening to this in a car and just listen to him scream like a little baby right now.
Hey, I toned down the scream. Mm. Yeah, okay. Mark can make it even go lower.
Mark can make it go louder.
Or louder. Yeah, why not? Anyway, we're not getting straight to the point.
So we are going to get straight to the point now. So Carson, some common causes of pilot deviations in GA or general aviation, lack of situational awareness, distractions, multitasking. I'll tell you this. Anybody who's flying in a glass cockpit airplane and still has their iPad out all the time, it's dumb. Why?
I mean, like having your TV and watching your phone at the same time.
It is. Yeah. I mean, if you have all of these fancy gadgets in a cockpit, what do you even need the iPad for? The only thing I would say you might need the iPad for is probably your plates if you're doing IFR.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
But glass cockpits, some of them can even just overlay it.
I mean, exactly. It depends on how it kind of looks when you're looking at a cockpit. Because if you're looking, let's just say, you're looking straight here and over here, if you're listening to this, I'm like pointing to the middle of a cockpit. If you're watching, you'll see my hands moving. If you go to the right, it might be off of your kind of sight of like eyesight view, and it won't be good to.
So you want it like on your knees, so
on
you
your
can
right,
just look straight
right
up.
Knee. Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, but I've been in planes where people have like three cameras. They've got four iPads mounted here, mounted on your leg, a separate one in the back. They throw a chart on their passenger's leg. It's too much, guys. Look outside. You can't even see. I've seen people have like iPad all on the screen. Like they're trying to, with a glass cockpit, and it is crazy. Like you don't need any of that stuff. It's pointless. So that can cause some miscommunication with ATC, okay? You can have some issues with read back or hear back errors, right? You're not going to follow what their directions are if you're focusing on a million things at once. You can focus on more than one thing at a time. You're a pilot. You have to.
But you want to try and limit that and simplify what you're doing.
Yeah.
And looking out the window is going to keep you the safest.
Exactly. And if you're flying IFR, you should be paying attention to the instruments that are certified for your aircraft.
Yeah. And costs 100 times what the iPad costs.
Maybe more than that, actually. Yeah, maybe so, like 120, 140.
I would trust that instead.
I would too. Also, not following proper pre-flight planning. Oh, what if you're unfamiliar with that airspace or something, right? Well, I'm just going to use Riverside as a perfect example because I trained a lot of students up there. If you go up to 2,700 feet above that area, or even when you're leaving it, you hit a Charlie above you.
Yep.
So if you're not careful and you don't, if you're in a faster airplane and you're climbing, or if it's a cool morning, and even in a 172 and you've got 50% fuel and it's just you or something, you can climb pretty quick.
I hear it a lot of students going from Riverside to Chino and just making that little jump, but they kept climbing and climbing, and that's how you hit that airspace.
Exactly.
Like that particular spot.
Yeah, so, a whole bunch.
I mean, it's just paying attention. There's a lot of task saturation. Like Brand said, you have five different screens. But when you're in a plane, you're doing a lot of different things. And for whatever level of proficiency you have, you're going to have a different type of task saturation. Student pilots are going to get overwhelmed just by looking at a chart and flying.
Yeah.
Much less chart, flying, instruments, radios, talking to a passenger or your instructor.
And is it a new plane to you? Like if it's pretty new, you might be task saturated because your eyes aren't used to going to the exact same location as they used to go.
Yeah. There's a lot that can happen. But what happens when you actually get the pilot deviation?
Well, some consequences. One, they'll say possible pilot deviation. Call this phone number.
So your consequences, your heart racing and palms getting sweaty.
Knees weak, palms are sweaty. Yeah.
Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah, mom's spaghetti. we're supposed to be straight to the point. No jokes today, guys.
Yeah, it's not us.
Yeah, no, it's not us. No, so they'll do that. So yeah, your heart rate's going up, all that stuff. But that is not what the impact is going to be, right? So normally, if it's minor, and you accept responsibility immediately and apologize, and you explain what happened, just like Harrison Ford did. Harrison Ford, when he landed on that taxiway at John Wayne, SNA, he just admitted to it. He was like, I'm the bozo that just landed on the taxiway. Or he said something like that, or the dummy, or whatever he said. He called himself. But he said that because he wanted to explain, like, hey, I realize I just made a mistake. I owned up to it. And please let me correct this. And he got a slap on the wrist. All they did, they had a talk with him pretty much, and that was it. He didn't have to take anything.
I mean, that's a pretty severe one to me.
It's pretty severe, but if you're used to landing on that taxiway, like most of the time, you know, he flies helicopters and they always tell him to land on the taxiway. That particular one.
That makes more sense. I didn't know there's a background to it.
There's always a background to everything, Carson. And he has flown and landed on that taxiway all the time, but he did it with a helicopter.
That makes more sense. So he's used to lining up with it.
He's used to lining up with it. And he's used to landing on it pretty much.
So I think moral of the story is that if you get lax with what you're doing, pilot deviation can happen. And a pilot deviation is really just a mistake. You're usually not intentionally landing on a taxiway.
Yeah.
I think that would lead to a little more severe ramifications.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say the most normal thing that happens is you get a warning. They give you a little slap on the wrist. Don't do that again. But a lot of the times, they'll either have you take they'll retrain you. So you'll have to do, I think it's called a 702 ride, which means you basically have to retake a check ride with the FAA to get your pilot certificates back. Sometimes you'll get a suspension, 30, 60, 90, 120, 365-day suspension. Those things happen. Kind of depends how bad it is.
Is that license suspension or
it's flying, a license suspension.
Like, can't go up with the buddy.
I think it's just your license suspension.
Okay.
I'm sure you could go, but I'm guessing if you actually got caught at the controls, you'd be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Big trouble. So there's also impact on your record because then you're going to have an enforcement action upon you. That's going to come up on insurance. That's going to come up when you go get a job somewhere. That's going to come up all the time. And they could have legal or insurance implications. If you did something and you put somebody's life at risk, well, now they might sue you.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's up, Brandon.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show. You put someone's life at risk, but what are some other examples of pilot deviation?
Buzzing your friend's house or something, and you may have had permission to go over this particular home. Well, now you broke a regulation and you were too close to their neighbor's house or something like that. They could live in the middle of nowhere, but you still buzz their neighbor's house. So sometimes people do that. I know that's probably a pretty big one. People flying too low, below 500 feet above ground level. I think I see that one kind of happen a lot, actually.
And how do they get caught for that?
ADS-B, baby.
But who's watching it to pay attention to it?
Well, it's either ADS-B or sometimes in some airspace, the ATC actually has like an automatic alert where it'll tell you when airplanes are too low. So I'm assuming they probably send out warn notices, ding them that way. And there's also like neighborhoods. I know there's a neighborhood in Corona somewhere. I can't remember exactly where, but they actually had like something that alerted them anytime an aircraft got in this particular area at this particular altitude. And it would just automatically generate a letter and send it to the FAA.
It's probably Terramore.
I don't know.
That was across from where I grew up.
And they
would always call at the flight school, like, your planes are buzzing too loud. And we'd check, and it wasn't even our planes.
And
all the planes were at 3,500 anyway.
Yeah, above the ground.
Yeah.
They were like 5,000 feet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous sometimes. But sometimes there's a risk to safety, personal and public and property.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with those things. So, Carson, it's pretty easy to avoid a pilot deviation, but what are some things that are kind of common sense that some people just avoid because they're in a hurry?
To actually plan your flight instead of just hopping in just because you have a good idea of where you're going. Plan your flight and look at some of the airspace, especially growing up in California. That's where I learned to fly. There's a ton of different airspace all over. So I got really good at reading that and understanding it and having a good idea of where it lied. But just actually plan your flight and briefing it. Check the NOTAMs. Make sure you're not going to buzz in the airspace. Make sure the weather's okay for you to fly in it. Like Brandon said, just use a tool like 4Flight.
Yeah, I mean, 4Flight, I mean, you can use a sectional and get anywhere you want. But 4Flight can show it to you in 3D.
Yeah.
Like literally, they have a profile planner in 4Flight you could use. And it shows when you get to a certain airspace and then what airspace you'll be in and then what airspace you'll come through. It's not that hard. And if you go get flight following, it's even easier because they clear you through everything.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, just unless having good radio communication.
It's Bravo. But you can always just ask for a Bravo clearance. And if they say no, have a plan B. Haha, you like how I did that? Bravo, plan B. Have a plan B to be able to fly under or over that Bravo airspace. Also, if you don't know if a restricted airspace is hot, don't plan to go through there. just don't plan on going through. Plan on going around it. And if you want to take a shortcut because you're using GPS or something,
you ask nicely if it's open.
And you ask if it's open. They'll be like, oh, yeah, it's not hot. Feel free. Go ahead.
Yep.
Yeah. Just plan around it or go through if you get the opportunity and use it as a shortcut. So also, improving some radio skills would be a good one. Don't mess up on proper phraseology, right? Don't use the word for, like F-O-R. Don't use that word.
Don't use that word? Nope. I haven't even thought about that.
F-O-R, because it sounds like the number four.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You shouldn't say like descending.
Yeah, descending for 2,000.
For 2,000, yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
You should. You should say Cessna 12345.
Descending two.
No, not even descending. You should say.
Oh, you can't. You probably shouldn't even say two then.
Should not say two. T-O. Do yeah. not say T-O.
Or T-O-O.
Yeah. I mean, if you're climbing, you should say Cessna 12345, 3,200, 6,500. Yeah, don't say clear. Climbing. This is what I'm doing. I'm at this altitude and I'm going to this altitude. And that's all you have to do is tell them that. Yeah.
You're a good pilot.
Thank you.
You actually know what you're talking about.
Sometimes I know what I'm talking about. Yes. So you want to keep in mind on those types of things. Next thing. What is something else we can do?
Actually, just staying proficient with your recurrent training. Everything from flight reviews to working with the CFI and just flying with them. If you're not familiar with the local area, flying with someone that does know about it is just best practice.
Yeah, really any major airspace, major city, you really want to kind of get some training or be a really good pilot and really kind of study that airspace, right? You don't have to be a fantastic pilot to be able to go fly through DFW airspace. Yeah, the airspace you're not familiar with. You just need to be able to smart pilot and like get flight following, things like that. So by the way, if you do get a deviation, ATC deviation, just realize you made a mistake, own up to it, right? I mean, if you make a huge mistake, say, I want to talk to my attorney. But if you make a small mistake, you should just own up to it and just say, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did this. I'm a bonehead, like Harrison Ford said. And they're going to give you a slap on the wrist and they're going to have a conversation with you and make sure that you really know your stuff. And that's going to be the end of it. And you're never going to talk to them ever again. It's not going to go on your record. It's just going to be a warning. It said, hey, we had a conversation with you about this. That's it.
And that's what you want to keep it as. You don't want to go on your record. I'm sure insurance is a lot of fun for you to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure insurance would be absolute nightmare. So what should you do if you actually get a deviation?
Following an Aviation Safety Reporting System report, ASRS.
Which is also known as a
NASA report.
NASA report.
So those are really important when it comes to, you know, you're admitting guilt to a third party. And it's only something that's brought up if they come after you for a sort of a corrective action.
By the way, Carson. Do you know how often you could utilize that get out of jail free NASA report?
As many times as you need.
Wrong.
How many?
You can file as many times as you need, but you can only use one every 5 years.
That makes sense. You probably shouldn't be messing up that big more than five times or more than once in 5 years.
I would agree.
Yeah, especially not five times. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. So file a report. And what does that actually do?
They actually use that data in the NASA reports to help with aviation safety. Basically, if somebody keeps on messing up in the same hotspot, at an airport or
there's probably an issue there.
There's probably an issue and it's probably a safety issue. It's probably not just because of this one person. It's because there's an underlying issue. So it allows you to use that data and really look into what the problem really is.
Got it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would agree. So if you're contacted by the FAA, what to expect if you get a deviation inquiry? And I would tell you what you should expect is them to just have a stern conversation with you. But I would tell you, if you get something in the mail, like I did with that icon thing, which you can go look in the comments below and get the link and listen to that full story, I called an aviation attorney right away because I was unsure. I get this scary letter in the mail. And then when I call them, I find out, oh, it was nothing. I just want to verify that you didn't crash and that you didn't do anything wrong. No, I didn't do anything wrong. So I actually consulted an aviation attorney. I have I think it's called a PPS program through AOPA. I pay it yearly. And basically, it's a pilot protection program, something like that. And I think it's fantastic. It really helps me out if I have issues or questions. And it's really nice for people who need medicals, by the way.
Oh, it's something we have to talk about soon.
Yeah, we should talk about medicals. A lot of things have changed.
Things always change. It's good.
Things always change. Cool. Anything else you want to close up with, Carson?
I don't think so. I think it's just important to note that if you get a pilot deviation, it's not the end of the world. You made a mistake. and you're going to fix it and probably not going to let that happen again.
Yep, I would agree. Yeah, make sure you learn from your mistakes and try not to repeat them. That's always the best thing to do. Perfect. Well, thanks again for listening or watching us today. We really appreciate it. If you would like to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us at Brandon@AviationMentors.com or Carson@AviationMentors.com. Really, I'm checking LinkedIn a lot more. So locate me on LinkedIn. Just put in Aviation Mentors when you send the request, and I'd be really happy to connect with you. Also, please don't forget to hit like, subscribe, follow, share, all the things that you're supposed to do on social media when you actually like the people you're listening to. It really helps grow the podcast and really helps grow the aviation community. So we'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening today. We can't wait to see you again.
And as a wrap up for the day, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See you guys.